old, woman, man, black, Asian, gay, undateable, fat, bald, white, nappy hair, single parent, widow. These are just some of the many labels that are assigned to us. Everywhere we turn, a new label pops up telling us how we should define ourselves. Some are meant to be a badge of honor, while others cause hurt and pain. The labels assigned to us can open past wounds and impact our behaviors and choices. They can keep us down, not allowing us to achieve success in life. The world uses these labels to define us and to separate us. But what if we embrace the labels and use them for good? In this episode, innovator, author, and successful, and I'll say highly successful, business owner, Betsy Cirillo shares how you can claim your labels and use them as fuel for greater success. But before we get to that, good evening, afternoon, or morning, wherever you may be. Welcome to another exciting episode of Let's Coach. Let's Coach is a show that brings the best from the coaching world for you to use in your everyday life, and we talk about what coaching can do for you. We bring you some great small business ideas and some good news stories and stories about people who are paying it forward in their everyday lives. My name is Carolyn Owens, and I'm the host of the show. Now, when I'm not hosting, I serve to help you up-level your skills so you can up-level your income, your career, your business, or your life. And I love to connect with you, the listeners, and hear what you think about the show, or if you'd like to be connected with a guest that we've had on the show, definitely reach out to me by going to what I call my connection hub. If you go to carolyn360.com, you're going to find everything you need to connect with me there from my social media platforms. Yeah, I know, need to do better there, as well as my email, a link to the blog, and this podcast. You know, and I want to take a second to give a big shout-out to the listeners in Uganda. We continuously, almost every week, we rank there, and I just wanted to give them a special shout-out and thank you for that. I do appreciate all my listeners, but, hey, when you continuously, week after week, rank in one area, they deserve a special shout-out. And I also want to take a moment. Prior to the start of the show, as many of you have seen, a note came across, an update that I received in regards to an actor that I love, and that's Bruce Willis, as he's now stepping down from acting because he has a condition that is robbing him of his ability to communicate from speaking and writing and understanding language, both written and verbal. And I will probably not pronounce it right, but it's called, I believe, aphasia, and it's A-P-H-A-S-I-A if you guys want to look it up. But I do want to give all prayers and shout out to the family, all of his children, his current wife, his ex-wife. We have seen him on the screen for many years. He's still a young man. But to see such a great actor going through this, it definitely deserves a mention. So our prayers and our hearts go out to the Willis family. But joining us today is Betsy Cirillo. And Betsy is the founder of the hugely successful professional staffing and executive firm, AdNet AccountNet, and she advocates for workplace excellence and equity. You know, growing up in a home that favored the boys over the girls, coming out after falling for a college classmate, she experienced the sting of unkind and discriminating labels. In business, as she tried to rise as a young executive search professional, she found her way blocked and her salary less simply because she was a woman. So can you really choose your labels and use them to empower yourself, your business, or your career? Well, Betsy has written a book, Shake It Off Leadership, Achieving Success Through the Eyes of Our Labels, that addresses this important issue. And she's here with us to dive deeper into the subject. So without further ado, Let's give a warm Let's Coach welcome to Betsy Cerullo.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Oh, I have been looking forward to our conversation today, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. It's funny because the timing, because it's been a subject that's been coming up a lot in conversations that I've been having,
yeah.
And how you see how we are attached to these labels. And, you know, during the course of our conversation, people are going to begin to understand why you got in a business for yourself. But I want to start by asking you about your book, Shake It Off Leadership, mm-hmm. Achieving Success Through the Eyes of Our Labels. You wrote this during the COVID pandemic, and the book was written from a very personal place, sharing a lot about yourself and your life. Why write this book now at this time in your life?
It was time for me to share the evolution of my personal and professional life as a gay woman and how that's influenced my leadership style. You know, some of my life experiences in my 40s forced me to take a deeper look at how I responded to situations. So, you know, with that wisdom and sometimes the hard lessons, I was able to fine-tune my leadership. You know, it's really an opportunity for me to use my words as a way to influence the up-and-coming leaders in whatever diverse group and, of course, the LGBTQ community.
I mean, it is very personal. Did you worry
yeah.
about what people were going to say?
Yes. you know, believe me, I had many conversations with the publisher because at different times, as different chapters would evolve, I would say to myself, well, who cares about what I think, or, you know, or what I'm writing about? And I wonder, with some of the references in the book, if someone reads it and kind of wonders, gee, is that me? How is that going to go over? And I just thought, you know, it's okay. And part mm-hmm. of releasing the story was also kind of an evolution or a maturation of my own courage. And you know as well as I do, being in coaching and leadership, there's many times we have to step into the unknown, such as COVID, that, you know, perfect example. And you have to just kind of fly without a safety net.
It took a lot, like, to be able to put all of that on paper. And one mm-hmm. of the things I didn't notice about the book, on the cover is this snow globe. Is there special meaning behind that?
Well, you know, my son is an artist, and he designed the cover. And he knows that I love snow globes. So I think, you know, he might have used that, but sometimes he operates from such an incredible place of creativity that I'm whatever inspires him. So he read some things on the book and that's what he came up with.
So it has that personal connection for you in many ways.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, our past, and I know we're going to talk about your son more in a moment, but our past helps to shape our future. The decisions we make, the paths we choose. And for you, you grew up in a home where boys were favored more than girls. What was that like for you?
You know, it was challenging at different times. And I think that I certainly learned a lot. You know, now where I'm at in life and I look back, I'm grateful for the lessons my mother taught me, even though I didn't agree with some of the ways she went about it. But indirectly, I was taught how to stand up for myself and how to fight for what I wanted or what I needed. I learned negotiating because, you know, my mother would be quick to say no to me, whereas my brothers seemed to get yes more often. So I kind of learned it. Okay, well, how can I sway her, or how should I word this to make her say yes? So, you know, in some ways, I learned a lot from that. So I was stronger for it. I didn't like it, but I was stronger for it.
It's like we don't realize what's happening until we look back and we're able to say, mm-hmm, this is what we gained from that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you had, if I'm correct, there were three boys and yourself, and you had a sister.
Yes, and my oldest sister. So, but, you know, if I think back, that type of scenario in a family system is not unusual. So, you know, I happen to be a Roman Catholic Italian upbringing. So many of my friends experience that too. So it's not just my family.
And it helps to shape us because after you left home, you went to college and you had to face yet another label. You went through figuring out, girls and boys are treated somewhat differently, but you came out and had fallen for a college classmate. Now you've got these new labels that people are throwing at you from, and excuse, I know you hate this word, but they're using references such as lesbian, dyke, LGBT.
Yeah.
How did you respond to that?
It was frightening. So I was afraid. You know, I knew that, boy, this was different. My college friends were just fabulous, and we're all still close today. So there was such an incredible level of support. It was I can remember a situation where there was one particular woman who really wasn't in my direct group of friends, who kind of outed me, and I was afraid of that situation. And I remember I went to her directly, and I didn't stick up for myself. I just said, you know, I said, you know, I don't think it's fair what you're saying. And I actually, when I think back to it, I didn't admit or deny. But I said, but I think it's really hurtful what you're doing. And my friends love me. So I'm not sure why what I do matters to you. So that was probably the hardest thing I encountered in college. It was mostly, what do I do with this when I leave school and go home to New Jersey? And that's where most of the fear came up. And I think my friends really supported me and loved me through it because it didn't matter to them.
How was it going home? Once you, you know, had actually said it to someone at school, and then you have to go home because you grew up in this Catholic environment. And if I'm correct, one of your brothers had actually became a priest.
Yes. Well, he was the first one I called. And he was absolutely loving and supportive. And he said to me, you know, I'll love you no matter what, but it's going to be difficult to be gay in our family. So if there's any way you can change your mind, I want that for you because it's just going to be tough. So he was always my fan, if you will, and my champion. And sadly, he died about 10 years ago, suddenly from a heart attack. So, but I'll always remember that he's a Catholic priest, and for the listeners that understand the Catholic doctrine, one would not expect him to necessarily be supportive, and he was totally the opposite. Totally.
Yeah,
and not just
think
me
about,
either. Other gay people too.
You think about religion and the church and our often response to, you know, individuals in the LGBT community, and it's not, we're, people forget you're not supposed to treat someone in a harmful, degrading way, but it happens. It happens, and people will use their religious preferences as a justification for that treatment.
Yes. And it's not right. You know, when you think about the LGBTQ community, it's the strife that comes up is about whom we're choosing to love. I mean, seriously, in the world that we live in now, with a lot of the challenges, people want to bring to the forefront in a negative manner why someone or who someone chooses to love. I mean, stop. Love is the opposite of hate, and we have enough hate and we have enough war, too much in our world. It's none of anybody's business who we choose to love. Just accept it.
It's, I like to take the stance of being a person, you know, I believe in God and, you know, Christian viewpoints, but he gives us this choice of free will for us not to, we're not the judge. We're not the ones to, you know, exercise that punishment. That's not for us to do. You know, we are taught and should love one another and treat each other with kindness. Imagine if we had more kindness in the world.
Boy, that would be wonderful.
And you, even with, you know, you go home and you have to work through this with your family, you chose to take a leap into the business world. Why did you start your own business?
I absolutely loved what I did in the world of recruiting and staffing. And at the time that I did this, the company that I was with, it was a national firm. They, it was more of a regional firm. They sold to a national company, actually a global company. So the culture started to change. And I was fortunate enough that the owner of the company warned me, because I was a top producer. And he said, I just want you to know that your opportunities at the new company are going to be different, and I won't be there to protect you or to change or have the influence. So one by one, people started to leave, and I absolutely loved what I did. And I was 28, and I thought, you know, I maybe it was naivete, but I had enough under my belt and not enough to lose that I took the risk to start the company. And and it went from there. I honestly, 32 years later, I didn't think I would still be doing this. I'm not sure why, but it's like when I went to college, I didn't envision myself going to college so I would be an entrepreneur. I was going to go into hospital administration. But here I am, and I think that's what continues to fuel me, because not only do I love the purpose and the value that we bring to our customers, I love being an entrepreneur and a small business owner.
Yeah. And some of the challenges that you mentioned that would come with this, you know, new regime, new leadership, in the book you share stories about starting your business as a woman, and it actually made me kind of reflect and think on, you know, just how true some of these things are. But from your perspective, are women held to a different standard than men?
Absolutely. And we're still being held to a different standard. You know, I often hear from women when, you know, a man does something questionable, we'll say, well, he's a really nice guy, or he's really busy, or, you know, or he didn't mean that. But if a woman were to go back on her word and not show up for whatever reason, we don't cut each other the slack, and we often get negative labels. So I catch some of my friends when they'll say, well, he didn't mean that. Well, then why the heck did he say it? Why did he do it? And I stopped them. I think that practice has happened for me over the past couple of years, because I've noticed more that we cut the guys slack. And I just said, no. You make a commitment. You need to deliver. And if you can't deliver, at least renegotiate or admit, be accountable for the mistake. But, you know, women, we just don't give ourselves enough credit. And of course, we're called negative terms if we stand up for ourselves. And that stuff has to change. It really does.
You mean an aggressive? There's another term for an aggressive woman.
Oh, yes.
How often have we seen that display?
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
When really she's
absolutely
just doing the same things at times.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
But women get stuck where you learned how to negotiate. You learned to have that voice where you can kind of communicate and say, huh, no, this isn't going to happen. They don't mm-hmm. know, or they're not taught how to respond to the inequality that they see and that they experience. What would you say to a woman who's stuck in her career because of something like that?
I would, well, first of all, she needs to partner with an amazing coach like yourself, because I'm sure you would ask her questions. But, you know, sometimes people don't have the resources or the time or even the education. When I say education, don't really know what's available with having a coach or a guide. But I would probably ask herself, what's holding you back and what are you afraid of? Because underneath us not having a voice, and at many times throughout our careers, we've all gone silent.
Yeah.
What are we afraid of? You know, what's the worst that could happen? And sometimes if you unpack those questions and you really drill it down, you might find that what we're afraid of, we can also overcome. But it takes time. You know, you have to do the work to get to those answers. You have to be willing to ask yourself those questions, or, you know, to respond honestly to the answers.
That can be hard, that honest answer. Mm-hmm. And you think about, like, the labels that we talk about for the women who do start achieving the success. There are labels that come with that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, look at the corporate boardrooms. There's not a lot of us there. And then when you ask the question, what about women of color, it's even less.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to stop it. And the way to stop it is for women to use our voice. And I'll tell you something, that when I listen to empowering women who, you know, an empowering woman next to a woman or a man that has a style of slicing and dicing, if you look at the message is the same, but the delivery is different, it's like mm-hmm. listening to a symphony when a woman delivers eloquent, difficult news, and you respond better to it. And I think women are better at it than men.
Yes, I have. In my experience, I have seen the same thing. It's like almost an art to it that women have, where mm-hmm. you just realize you got told some terrible news, but you feel good about your next steps, what's going to happen. You know,
right.
Where it can be a more colder, harsher. You know, but and I do want to say, you know, to the listeners out there, there have been many men who have supported women in the workplace and helping mm-hmm. them move off, because oftentimes the catalyst, the antagonist, is another woman
mm-hmm.
who kind of stirs that pot and helps
yep.
kind of stepping over each other to get ahead.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure there's an analogy out there of the crab pot. And you
mm-hmm.
see, if you notice a bushel of crabs, a crab will crawl out and the other crabs are pulling it back in. And that happens a lot in business. It happens that women do it to each other. It happens that men do it to women. I'm sure men do it to other men, but we seem to hear more about, you know, women. And that's someone's insecurity, their fear. And I watched it over my career, because there would be times as I was early on in my career and I was growing and accelerating. And to me, even in the company I worked for before Adnet, and I noticed that when I got a promotion or I was mm-hmm. Acknowledged, that there would be some other women on the team, you know, like one or two that would kind of swipe me in some way, or or there would be some kind of sarcastic comment later on, and I would think to myself, but I was just doing my job. Now, this was my youth, you know, I'm just doing my job. But as I got older, I realized that that was jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. I was kind of used to it because I was always a hard worker. I'm sure just like yourself, how many times did people try to hold you back? Because what are we doing? We're working hard and we're doing our job the right way.
I can, you know, and that's what, when I was reading the book, it kind of reminded me of some of my own experiences where I had someone who was often at the same events that I was speaking at, and they might have been speaking as well. And every time I finished, their response would be, that was good, but. And they wanted to, start listing down everything they thought I did wrong. But realize mm-hmm. I have all these people reaching out to me, calling me, wanting to work with me after I just finished stepping off stage. But it's they would, and initially it's kind of like, okay, well, maybe this is, you know, I am doing something wrong here. And then it hit me. It would strip away everything of who I am, this uniqueness, this style that I have for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to learn and say, time out, you know, I'm not listening to you. You know, I mm-hmm. see my business growing and people reaching out to me, so I got to be doing something right here.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Right. And I had that in a business scenario with another woman. And, you know, again, when I would be in situations where I would get acknowledgement, she would take a lot of opportunities to, to strip me down of those good things. And there were times that wherever, because of the place that I was at in my life, I started to doubt myself. And I can tell you honestly over the years that it did impact my company because I was the CEO, but I allowed this person to, you know, to work out their inadequacies or jealousies, so I started to doubt myself. But once I got rid of that business relationship, the quality of the culture and the business itself really moved in a really good direction. And so I'm one of those people that I've made mistakes and I took some pretty big lumps, but I learned from them. And now it's almost like I feel like a Geiger counter, that if I have that kind of energy coming near me, it's like, oh, no, I'm keeping an arm's length from that one.
How do we shift that behavior that we experience amongst ourselves as women? How do we begin to change that?
I really put myself into situations where I was surrounding myself with people that I really admired. And believe me, it's not that I was surrounding myself with people I didn't admire, but if I was also listening to my intuition a lot more, and I thought to myself, I'm smart. I get a good read on people. You know, I'm in the world of staffing and recruiting where I've got to know people, and I'm really a subject matter expert on that. So I need to keep listening to my intuition. And like I said, I can feel someone's energy if there's negativity, and I will step back and observe. So I think, you know, maybe that just comes with age, but I step back and I pause now and I really observe and I choose differently. So am I going to walk towards or am I going to walk in the other direction? Or am I going to say, you know what, that doesn't work for me and I wish you well, and get out of there as fast as I can?
Well, have you ever had to, or have you ever chosen to lie or held back your accomplishments and your status in situations?
Yes. Early on, I'm still I don't know if it's careful, but even as I release this book and I've been doing a lot of interviews, I'm not necessarily one to toot my own horn, and it's not because I don't think I'm good at what I do. I have a lot that I need to get done and to be in service to. So I feel like my work speaks for itself. And
yes.
And it's not, and believe me, that's not arrogance. That's just hardcore good ethics and just a hardworking mentality. So I've certainly, probably like yourself, I've been around plenty of people that have that bravado, and there's really not a lot of substance. So
yes.
I use less bravado and more, you know, I deliver.
That's very true. When you there's this persona that we present to the world, and when you start peeling back the layers, oftentimes you find out that that person is not, you know, who you really think they are. They'll pose with the items, and but that's not what you want to be. They're not really living that life. It's almost as if this fake person that you see that's pulling you into work with them. But again, then when you do, they don't deliver. I mean, I think we've both experienced that as we were building our businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I've certainly been in scenarios, business scenarios where I can think of industry days, and you and I have probably crossed paths on some of the industry days. And I'm listening to men, mostly men, really just, especially if you're in a networking, it's talk, 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 like the person is just on send. And I'm thinking to myself, if you would really, you being the person talking to me, if you would just take a moment and stop talking, there might be an opportunity here for some collaboration.
Mm.
But if you're on in that send mode, probably within a couple of minutes, I've lost interest because I've already identified that you're not a good listener. So I find that I've learned to interject more often in my career. So if I'm in scenarios like that and I'm around a man who's just nonstop talking about everything his company does, I'll say, you know, excuse me, let me tell you a little bit about what I do. And then I go into it. And, you know, the person usually steps back. Oh, I'm sorry. So, but I've learned that I've got to take that step forward. And I've learned to do that pretty eloquently now.
And we're judged so easily by those labels that we have, because I know I can go somewhere, and until I start speaking or engaging in conversations, all these assumptions are made. And then eyes light up when I start diving in some of the topics and having these conversations, and I'm like, yeah, there's more than what you just judged me by. You know, we experience, I think women experience that more than men, and you see that especially with women of color, that happens. Mm-hmm. I was speaking to someone in the academia world and how that had just recently happened with them, and they're, you know, doing incredible things, but you find that they're downplayed and those things aren't highlighted. And that's one of the things we were talking about. People need to be aware of who she is and what she's done.
Well, you know, I think too, and this is my own growth too. There's certain things that one might say that I'm really accomplished at or amazed by what I've done. And I'm going about my day, or, you know, when I'm really, really excited about the culture that's within my company, it's a culmination of a lot of people. So yes, I happen to be the CEO. Yet it's an entire team that really creates the space. At least that's how I look at it in my company. So I'm not necessarily out there bragging about that, because there was such a collaboration, and it's never just the leader, the CEO. It's a group of people who are committed to whatever cause that is. And I find that sometimes when I listen to certain types of personality and leadership, they're always talking about me, 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 me. And I'm thinking to myself, if it was just me, 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 I would have collapsed from exhaustion. Not that I don't get exhausted, but you know what I mean? It's like success is a group. When you have a company, success includes a lot of people. Mm-hmm. That includes people internally. and the quality of the customers that you work with. Because we all know that when we have amazing customers, it's so empowering.
It is.
So empowering.
You have two people who really impacted and helped shape you and the choices that you made. And unfortunately, you lost them at a very young age, and that was your brother.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned, not only one had a heart attack, but you had two brothers have heart attacks at young ages, not even far apart from time, 18
mm-hmm.
months apart, if I'm correct.
Correct.
How did that impact you and the choices you made?
Well, when Tommy died in 2011, it just took my breath away. It was so unexpected. Since he lived 10 minutes away from me, the police came to my house to tell me.
Mm.
So those are, those are some of those moments that you just never forget. And it was a shattering time for me. It was also a time when we were coming out of the recession, but also had lost a big, we finished a big contract, and one that was a follow-on was canceled. So I was just flat out depleted and had to keep going. And I just wasn't sure, am I going to be able to do this? And then as I started coming out of it, the grief and the fog, a year and a half later, my brother Jack dies. Same thing, a heart attack. I felt like I had more tools in place to cope, for grief. But it was still like, it was, when I think back on it, it was all just a very surreal time. Is this, did this really happen? And why is my family being dismantled like this? I had a really do a lot of inner work, and I was in therapy and just really taking a look at life and say, okay, they died of heart attacks. They were young. I know for myself, there's probably some things I need to change. I gave up alcohol, which was one of the best gifts I gave myself. It forced me to, like I said before, exit a very toxic business relationship, because I kind of, in some ways, I felt like, if I don't change some things, I'm going to be right where my brothers are. And I'm not ready to leave the earth. I have a lot more that I want to do. And I think that just drove me to make different decisions and to distance myself from toxic people, because if for some reason it was in our, family DNA that I was could have some of these issues, I was going to make sure that I was taking care of myself as best as I could, because I, like I said, there's more dreams to accomplish, and there's just more work that needs to be done in the world, and I want to be on the planet a lot longer.
And that's, I think, one of the, to me, most kind of touching moments in the book. So, when our listeners do get the book, that's the time you pause and really marinate on that section about the impact for yourselves. There's another label that is attached to you by society that goes back to your son, your grandchildren, and it's the use of step, putting your stepson, your step-grandchildren. You don't like that.
No, I don't. I don't. I think for me, sometimes where it was referenced is less than. My family of origin didn't readily acknowledge my family. So my wife and I have been together for almost 25 years. And so when she and I met, Matt and Carolyn were teenagers. So I was welcome and really with open arms welcomed into their family. So I was learning about boundaries of co-parenting and what to say and how to be when my wife is the biological mother. But to have sometimes people around me kind of treat me a little invisible. It's like, well, what would you know? You never had kids, you know. And that's a common thing that friends of mine who are step parents have heard. Well, you didn't birth this children, so you don't know what it's like. And it's hurtful. It's really hurtful because there's plenty of women out there who are so maternal, who are single, yet in our society, we hold those women as less than because they didn't birth children. And it's just wrong. It's an unhealthy label, because how many women along the way have we encountered who loved and supported us and championed us that didn't birth us? I have a long, long, long list. Long list.
Yeah, the best example I love to give when we think about that step role is Shaq, the O'Neal basketball player, mm-hmm. and his father, stepfather, for, you know, illustration purposes, I'll use that, and how mm-hmm. the relationship they had and how he took care of him, and, you know, he was, for all intents and purposes, his father, and that relationship that they shared and had. I always like to use that example that it goes beyond, you know, the blood, that biological right. connection in many cases, but society will, as many labels that we have, attach this negative connotation to it. When you think of single parent, the mm-hmm. thing that women, you know, a lot of the challenges women face, and especially, I have to say, single parent men or mm-hmm. stay-at-home dads, you know,
right.
all of these things that really attach with when they clearly were in their relationship marriage, they're the best choice to be at home. And in some
That's
ways,
right.
they're the better parent to be at home. But
mm-hmm.
society wants to say, how dare you be a stay-at-home dad? How dare
yeah.
you be a single parent dad? You've got to go find a mm-hmm. wife or else you're not going to
mm-hmm.
make it.
That's right.
So
That's right.
when we think about how we choose to respond to these labels, I mean, I started even writing down some of the ones that I have for myself after I was reading a book, and I'm thinking, you know, single parent, black female, woman, heterosexual, I had a Christian, veteran, and the list was growing and growing because
mm-hmm.
we have so many that we give each other. You know, I gave some in the opening on how overweight people were treated. Even individuals with disabilities, the labels we
mm-hmm.
have. How
mm-hmm.
can we use these labels for good?
I think we should use our influence and our gifts, educate the world, educate each other on what we bring to the world. You know, I think the disabled community, and you and I both work within those lanes.
Yeah.
There's many times what I have noticed is that when there's a lot of conversation about all the diverse groups, the one group I don't always hear and see is the disabled community. And I've really gotten cognizant about that over the past couple
yes.
of years. And I have actually kicked back some different communications or in conversations says, now, wait a minute. I do a lot of work with people with disabilities. And where are they in this conversation? And, you know, usually people on the other end will say, totally forgot. I said, that's right.
They are the forgotten group.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that bothers me. So, you know, I think that's where those of us that you know, that have many labels, we have an opportunity to use our labels for good influence, you know, and that's where it's
mm-hmm.
educating people. That's where speaking up and, you know, and again, Carolyn, you and I have our own businesses. So we may have more freedom in speaking up. It may not be the same level of comfort for a person who works within a corporation who's afraid to. And I understand why people would be afraid to in a company. You know, you don't know if you speak out, are you going to be labeled as a troublemaker? Is it going to hurt my future for promotion? So it's everybody has a different situation in which they can use that influence.
Do you find as you have matured over time and you reach a certain point where you approach it differently, like you have your voice is stronger as opposed to when you were younger?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My voice is a lot stronger now, and I think I'm a lot more confident. I think too, for women, we get to a certain point in life and it's like, this is who I am. You know, there's nothing more to prove, or we've tolerated certain behaviors for so many years that you might get to, could be your 40s, could be your 50s, beyond. And you say, oh, I'm done with this. I've put out so much energy trying to conform to that, I'm not doing it anymore. And some of that is what happened for me. You know, I had to get smacked in the head by losing my brothers to say, oh my goodness, I'm not doing this anymore. And let's see, I was 49 when Tommy died. And I just, from that point on, it's almost like he left the planet, but he left behind his voice for me to add on to mine. And there was some kind of divine confidence that just led me to keep speaking out, because anything less for me, just, it didn't feel good anymore.
And you talk about leaving something behind. One of the chapters in your book is about legacy. Mm-hmm. What does legacy mean to you?
It's a great source of pride for me. So it's really about creating a more equitable landscape for the up-and-coming generations. People that have the same passion that women before me did, that LGBT people who opened the doors for me did. And I really want a better life for my grandkids. And to do that, we have a responsibility to stick our necks outside of our comfort zone, to interrupt social justice. And we know there's a lot of it still running rampant. You know, we're still fighting some of the same fights from decades ago when we thought, well, I thought we handled that, or I thought that law's in place, or do you know what I mean? So I think the legacy is for those people out there that made it easier for you and I today as businesswomen, I want to give that back. And that's mm-hmm. my legacy.
Well, you have your company, AdNet,
yes.
AccountNet, and can you tell us a little bit about it and the work that you do?
Yes. So we are a professional staffing and executive search firm, and we do business in the government space as well as the private sector. We're providing professionals who are in the areas of accounting and finance, HR, and legal. And on the legal side, we do a lot of work in EEO and reasonable accommodations.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I'm excited about that because especially the projects that we're choosing, they're meaningful.
Mm. One of the things I love most about the way you work with staffing is you speak up for the individuals you're representing in terms of
mm-hmm.
making sure that they receive, you know, a fair salary, that they're not, you know, overlooked for the skills and experience that they have. And it took me back to a conversation we had some time ago, and in reading the book, it was like, I get it. You know, I get why mm-hmm. you were saying some of the things that you had said in terms of my value, my worth. And I was like, you saw that value in me that I did not see in myself. And coming from you, that says a lot, because I know a lot about your background. And I'm like, that really says a lot that you would even, you know, kind of put me in that framework. But as a company, you don't just put anyone anywhere. You really help people find a good fit for themselves.
If we don't, you know, if we as a firm don't advocate for the individuals that we represent, who's going to do it? You know, if a company is willing to pay for our services, why not really advocate for our contractors' worth and value? Because sometimes our customers, we just need to tell them. They may not, you know, we all know, you can look at a resume. The resume doesn't speak to the whole, the depth and the fiber of the person. You have to put some meat on that. You got to tell people about it.
And you have survived 4 economic turndowns, the COVID pandemic. You have been in business for over 30 years. What is the secret to your success?
I pray every day. You know, I get, and I don't want to sound trite, but I tell you, my faith is really important to me. And when I get in trouble, I stop and I ask for guidance. And the answers are there, even if I don't like them. You know, but again, on a more business level, I'm always looking at how can I stay ahead of the curve. I think, you know, because I've been knocked on my butt a number of times through 30 years, I want to be wiser. So I'm looking at what's a really good direction for us to go to. I'll ask a lot of questions. You know, I'm an executive coach, so I ask a lot of questions on my team. If I get a sense that there's something that needs to be improved, you know, I don't want to assume that every person on my team is in a great space, because life hands us unpredictable events. So I stay ahead of it as much as I can, and I don't want to repeat my mistakes. So you know that term, you don't want to pay that toll again? I don't want to in business. Yeah, I don't want to.
That's such a Jersey quote, too.
We know how to pay tolls up there.
With all our talk today about, you know, labels, I want to ask, what do you call yourself? What labels do you accept?
I'm very, very proud in my life to be an elder, a woman, a mom, a grandmother, you know, the LGBT community, small business owner. Gosh, there's so many. I just, probably the only label that I sometimes struggle with is it's my vanity that, you know, my hair is on the whiter side versus being, you know, brown and free flowing. And yeah, I know I can always do something different about that. But it's like, oh, you know what? Maybe it's time that I just embrace it. So sometimes when I look in the mirror now and I see that I'm older, I'm like, well, okay, this is who I am. This is it.
And you have learned to embrace these and, as you said, use them for that influence to help other people.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? When you have a smile on your face, no matter how old you are, you look young.
I'm going to keep smiling.
Yeah. It works.
And so your book, we've mentioned the book, Shake It Off Leadership, Achieving Success Through the Eyes of Our Labels. How can people get a copy of this book and really dive into the concepts and stories that we've been talking about?
Well, you can go to Amazon It's there in either hard copy or Audible. You can go to my website, BetsyCerullo.com. There is also a free download there for a workbook. So I took some of the exercises that I put in the book. Yeah, and you can get a free download, and there'll be a PDF. If you want to kind of get a feel for what the book's about before you make the commitment to buy it, that might help you. And the exercises are really valuable too.
And there is a link to your website in the notes here,
yes.
So people can definitely kind of just click on that. And, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that we talk about, you know, retiring, we don't want to work anymore. Mm-hmm. And you take a different approach. You're not done yet. You've got so much more that you want to do and planned.
Yeah.
What's next for you?
Well, you know, I come from an ancestry of women who have worked in their 70s and even into their 80s. So I probably will continue whenever it's time for me to have life after ADNET. I will still be in a world of advocacy. So whether it's for women, whether it's for diverse groups, whatever that group will be, I'm probably always going to have my hands in some kind of human resources capacity, because it's people that make the workplace.
This has been great. So I thank you for being with us. And I'd like to always end the interviews by asking this final question. So you have 30 seconds to leave a message with our audience. What is that key message, that key takeaway you'd like to leave them with?
I would like to tell you that if there is a dream, whatever that might be, and it means that much to you, never give up, because you have the capacity and the answers inside your heart.
Guys, don't give up on those dreams. And definitely, I encourage you, get the book, read it. It definitely gives you a different perspective in terms of these labels that we allow society to define us by. And you don't have to embrace the negativity, the toxicity. You can learn to embrace them and use them for good, and use them as fuel for that greater success in life. I want to thank Betsy for joining us here today. It has been great. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Carolyn. It was an absolute joy to talk with you.
And I want to thank our listeners for joining us for another exciting episode of Let's Coach. You know, we still have lots planned ahead for this year. Hey, we're just getting started. And I know you have a choice of shows that you can listen to, so I appreciate you for taking time and listening to this one. Remember, subscribe on your favorite listening platform so that you will never miss an episode. And until next time, remember, if it ain't broke, make it better. Have a blessed week, everyone. Bye-bye.